People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, "I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me."
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. Today is December 14th, 2025, and there just seems to be a new intensity in Minnesota politics. I think we'll start with the straw poll from the Republican State Central Committee meeting yesterday. Kendall Qualls wins the straw poll, and frankly, Kendall Qualls needed to win the straw poll. But I think the bigger news coming out of the straw poll was that Lisa Daymuth was three votes behind Kendall Qualls. Mike Lindell finished third. Chris Maddow finished fourth. And you look at Daymuth and Maddow, and they're the most recent entries into this race. This aligns with the theory that I heard when I visited Marshall, Minnesota earlier this week and watched the first big forum with these candidates. Republican activists sound like Democratic activists of 2010 and 2018. They want to win. Winning is more important than issue purity. Winning is more important than MAGA. They want to win. And I think if you look at those poll results, you begin to see that Daymuth and Maddow are there with a strong showing. And it's something to just kind of keep a look at. The other thing to look at is that Scott Jensen, the 2022 nominee, was not well served. Kristen Robbins, who could win the fundraising war, might be in decent shape in fundraising, but amongst the state central committee members, she's not there. And so I lay that out there as the straw poll: Qualls first, Daymuth second, Lindell third, Maddow fourth. After that, it's Parrish, Robbins, Jensen, Knight, Johnson, Kohler. Not a ton of opportunity for those folks later in the race. So the next thing we'll watch is fundraising totals in January. But this week, I thought we'd turn our attention to one of the issues and one of the races that will get a lot of down ballot attention. And that is the Hennepin County Attorney's race. Mary Moriarty has said she won't run again. But that doesn't mean that her record, her handling of the Hennepin County Attorney's race won't be on the ballot. And it will. And so this week, we'll start our conversations with candidates for Hennepin County Attorney with Anders Folk. Anders Folk is a former U.S. attorney. He was an attorney in the military. It brings a very different perspective to the race. but also he is running a very serious campaign. And it's one of those things we should watch as we go forward. Cedric Frazier, another big player in this race, seems to not be leaning into already running. And so we'll watch and see how this very important and closely watched race for the top prosecutor in Minnesota's biggest county comes through. When I come back, I will be with Anders Folk, candidate for Hennepin County Attorney. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WCCO. Good morning, and welcome back to Sunday Take. My guest is Anders Folk, and he's running for Hennepin County Attorney. And I don't think there's an office that gets as much attention as the Hennepin County Attorney after the last few years. And so I want to welcome Anders to the show, and I want to have him tell you why he's running, what he thinks the key issues of this race are. Anders, thanks for joining Sunday Take.
Yeah, happy to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Anders, who are you and why do you want to be Hennepin County Attorney?
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm running for Hennepin County Attorney because I want to make the county safe for everyone. And what I tell everybody as we're out campaigning is that we need to bring back common sense to this office and truly make public safety a priority. And I think to do that, we need an experienced prosecutor who has leadership experience and knows how to get that job done. Hennepin County has been my home forever, boys. I grew up in Hopkins. I'm raising my kids here. We live in Minneapolis. I've got four great kiddos and I'm really running because I want them to have the same experience and opportunity I had growing up here. And I know that through my career as a prosecutor and as a public servant, I've really learned how to do the job of the county attorney. And I'm excited at the chance to do that.
When you think about growing up in Hopkins, when you think about Hennepin County over the last 4 or maybe 8 years, is there anything specific that you point to that changed the way the county attorney worked? Or is this a more progression of change in the way we dealt with criminal justice?
Those are really, really important questions. I think, first of all, what I've seen over the last 4 years and what I hear repeatedly from folks in law enforcement, folks in the community, what I would call kind of just public safety advocates, be they educators, faith leaders, just normal people living their lives, is that they've been really disappointed at how the county attorney's office has stopped listening and how the county attorney's office has really deprioritized public safety in a way that I think people feels like it has made them less safe. And I think we've gotten away from a county attorney's office that focuses on that public safety aspect of the job. And when I'm reading in the Star Tribune over and over about crime victims and crime victims' families who are feeling treated like they've been treated badly by the county attorney's office, when I am reading about crime victims whose family members may have been murdered and they're learning about the terms of a plea agreement before they walk into a court, and the terms of the agreement are completely inappropriate. That to me tells me we've had a breakdown in that office. And I think that really speaks to the need to have an experienced prosecutor who's worked with crime victims, who's worked with every single player in the criminal justice system and the public safety system, to take over this office and run it the way it should be run, which is with that public safety first mentality, and with a mentality that says everybody's voice needs to be heard, and knows how to kind of make sure that everybody's voice is heard.
What's your background that qualifies you to be the top prosecutor in the biggest county in the state?
Well, boys, I think everything about my kind of career, and frankly my life, kind of fits into why I think I'm the best candidate for this and why I'm qualified. I started practicing law in the Marine Corps as a judge advocate. I joined the Marine Corps while I was in law school, because I've always had this kind of desire to serve. And, you know, just short aside, I feel like I got bit by the bug the first time for public service when I was still a high school guy. I got an incredible opportunity to go out to Boys Nation. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's this great
program
where the American Legion will send boys and girls to Boys State and Girls State, and you get a chance to kind of see government in action. And I got to meet Bill Clinton. I got to meet Senator Wellstone, and Congressman Jim Ramstead, who was my congressman at the time. And I really got to see Minnesotans making a difference for Minnesotans. And that was kind of the first time I felt like, you know, service really can help people's lives, and I got the bug then, and the first chance I felt like I had to kind of do my part and serve was when I signed up to join the Marine Corps. So I learned how to lead, I learned how to follow, and I learned how to lead by example, I think, from the Marine Corps. That's where I learned to start trying cases. I prosecuted and defended Marines and sailors as a judge advocate in the Marine Corps. And then I had the kind of incredible fortune to be in the Department of Justice and to prosecute and investigate all sorts of important cases in the Department of Justice. And that included things like, you know, big sophisticated gang cases, drug trafficking, frauds of all stripes, national security matters, including terrorism and domestic terrorism. And that's kind of the building blocks for, I think, a successful career as a prosecutor. And then, you know, most recently, I was the acting U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota, the chief federal law enforcement officer. And, you know, one of the folks who followed me was Andy Luger. And I had a chance as the acting U.S. attorney in Minnesota to lead that office through some really challenging times, and to include signing the indictment of Derek Chauvin for violating George Floyd's civil rights when Derek Chauvin murdered him. And, you know, that is all part of the experience I bring to the table. And I think it's why I'm really uniquely qualified to take on this important job.
You brought up the Derek Chauvin case. Derek Chauvin and his supporters continue to push back. We've learned through some of these fraud cases that the federal system has more tools. We've learned that through some of these gang cases. Are there different tools that you can use as county attorney so that the feds don't have to prosecute some of these more violent cases or the cases that make the headlines?
Yeah, you know, I think the best way people should think about our criminal justice and our public safety system is really this ecosystem where it works best when everyone works together. And absolutely, the county attorney's office needs to play an important role in that system. And so let me just give you a couple examples. In a large case, or in, you know, what we've recently seen coming out of the Department of Justice in the context of some of these RICO cases involving some of these gangs that were involved in violent crime, in a perfect world, the federal enforcement authorities and the state prosecutors would be working together and kind of helping one another and working constructively together. And I think that is how you get the best outcomes. If I'm Hennepin County attorney, I can tell you that the county attorney's office will be committed to building those really big and important cases and working as partners with the department where appropriate. I'll tell you, though, one of the things I'm really worried about is the fact that DOJ's priorities right now seem to have shifted. There's this immigration focus. There seems to be, I keep reading about all the folks leaving the Department of Justice, and there's real kind of human resources constraints there. And I think the county attorney's office is going to need to step up and fill that void that's being left by the department. And frankly, I think the county attorney's office is going to play a bigger role in some of these larger, more sophisticated cases. And I know that the county attorney's office has absolutely the right people in place to do that. It just needs the right direction and leadership.
So you, when you talk about that, the right people at the county's attorney, the county attorney's office, and then you talk about the right direction for the county attorney's office. So does the leader, does the county attorney really make the go or no go call on these cases that we do see in the headlines?
You know, I think a good county attorney, like a good leader of any organization, sets strategy, sets priorities, and then holds folks accountable to them. And in my experience as the acting U.S. attorney, the folks who are working with you and for you want to know what the strategy is, want to know how they can help. And the thing to remember is these are all people who signed up to serve. These are all dedicated public servants who want to make us all safer, want to do the right thing. What they truly are looking for is direction, leadership, and somebody both to lift them up and to help them on the hard cases, because, you know, these hard cases end up in the newspaper and they deserve to be taken care of by their leadership.
One of the last questions here before the break I want to ask is how, when you think about that leadership and you think about the, you know, the personal feelings of people in the county attorney's office, have you dug into the idea that, you know, kind of redemption, less time, is that the philosophy of prosecutors or is that part of leadership?
Look, I think it's all of the above. And I think the thing that I tell everybody is criminal justice system is an imperfect tool, but it is one tool for increasing our public safety. And I can tell you in a long career as a federal prosecutor and having prosecuted and defending a lot of cases in the Marine Corps, every case is different. Every defendant is a human being, and we need to treat everybody with dignity and respect who comes into the system. But priority one needs to be ensuring that the public is kept as safe as possible and that we are focusing resources on those most serious cases with the most serious crimes. And I think a good prosecutor who's got a track record and an experienced background with dealing with these cases and understanding kind of where those lines need to be drawn can really effectively make sure we're holding out a hand and helping those folks who need it in the appropriate cases and providing diversion and other opportunities to stay out of the criminal justice system, but ensuring there's accountability and consequence for those most serious violent criminals who are really causing concern in the community.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Anders Folk. He's running for Hennepin County Attorney. It's the most visible prosecutor job in the state, and it sets a tone of the way people think about Minnesota, think about Minneapolis, on issues of public safety and criminal justice. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not magic.
Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We are back on Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blaise Olson. My guest this week is Anders Folk. He's running for Hennepin County Attorney. And if you think about the last 4 years, or frankly longer, there's not a job in Minnesota that gets as much scrutiny and is under the microscope on high-profile cases as Hennepin County Attorney. Anders, we were talking before the break about the office, and talk about the office. How many prosecutors are there? What's the culture of the office, and how do you expect to kind of lead an office of folks who, you know, have you worked with, have you not worked with? Because these are, you know, career county employees, and they don't necessarily, there's a theory that sometimes they wait out leadership. And they've had a lot of leadership changes in the last couple of years. What do you think about the office and the attorneys in the office?
You know, I think it is an office full of dedicated, hardworking public servants who want to do the right thing. And they signed up to do a very difficult job for all the right reasons. These are folks who want to keep the public safe. And I've spent a lot of time during and before the campaign, frankly, talking to these assistant county attorneys about what's working, what's not, what needs to be fixed, what are you seeing? And you know, they're very clear that we need to have a change, and they are hungry for an experienced prosecutor to run that office. And they're hungry for the ability, frankly, to do their jobs and to not have to worry about not being supported when they do that. And so, you know, this is an office of nearly 500 employees, nearly a $90 million annual budget. It's a big office, and it is probably the largest office of lawyers in the state of Minnesota, certainly the largest office of public service lawyers in the state of Minnesota. And I think, like any organization, they want and deserve leadership that leads by example, provides clear direction, manages to it, ensures accountability within the workforce, but is also ensuring accountability with the public, and is being a good listener with regard to the public. I think this office has really gotten away from that. And I think what I hear from these assistant county attorneys is they want to be trusted by the public again, whether it's judges, whether it's probation officers, whether it's law enforcement colleagues, they want that trust back. And I think there's a lot of concern about whether they've lost it as an office.
My sense is the loudest voices over the last several years have really been the voices that get the headlines, whether it's on police cases, whether it's on just general cases that you kind of scratch your head and you wonder, how did this get to this place? How do you deal with the advocates who are really anti kind of traditional public safety or traditional consequence when you commit a crime, that they believe that, you know, maybe juveniles or you know, maybe you shouldn't spend as much time in prison for a crime because you know, the system is racist or the system is, you know, skewed against certain people. How do you deal with those advocates? What do you say to people that just don't support the traditional theory that, you know, if you do a crime, you spend some time in prison?
You are actively engaged with every voice in the community, period, full stop. Everybody deserves a seat at the table, and you need to listen to everybody. One of the most kind of incredible experiences I had as the acting U.S. attorney, but also kind of educational experiences for me, was as we were investigating Derek Chauvin and as we were working in a post-George Floyd environment, what was so important was to listen to everybody. You've got to listen to your law enforcement partners. You've got to listen to the community leaders, and you have to listen to what you're kind of calling that group of activists. Everybody deserves to be heard. And in my experience, and I experienced this when I was working for Attorney General Merrick Garland and Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco in Washington, D.C., we get the best outcomes from policy. We get the best outcomes from decision making when we hear from everybody. And everybody includes sometimes people that might not normally get a seat at the table and people whose views may differ from your own. And I think that kind of open dialogue and active engagement is key to being a good leader, period, but really important to being a good public service leader. And if the county attorney is not listening to everybody and not actively engaging people, and when I say actively engaging, I mean reaching out to and inviting them to the table, all these various stakeholders, you're going to miss something and you're not going to do the job as well as you should.
One of the obviously biggest stories that we've ever experienced was the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd. And the prosecution of Derek Chauvin. Is there anything about law enforcement that you learned in that case that deserves more highlight or will change the way you look at your role as a county attorney?
You know, I think it brought home for me, among other things, just the need for every player in the public service system, whether it's a local police department, whether it's a prosecution office, whether it's any organization that's involved in public safety. Leadership matters, tone at the top matters, and having clearly set expectations for following the rules matters. And if we get away from that, we can have horrific outcomes. And I think what we saw with Derek Chauvin's murder of George Floyd is an example of that.
As you think about that, are there things that you see already changing within law enforcement, specifically the Minneapolis Police Department? Do you think make the dynamic between the county attorney and police who bring you evidence and bring you cases to decide whether or not you prosecute? Is there anything that's changed, you think, under this, you know, order that changed the culture or changed the way in which these cases will be viewed?
You know, I think when we talk about culture and when you talk about organizations, I think the thing we always need to keep in mind is that it takes time and it takes kind of repeated effort and concentrated effort to change culture. And so I think this is going to be a question we can't fully answer for a really long time. We just need to make sure that we are continuing to hold all of us in the public safety system accountable and ensure that we all do better. I do think, though, that, you know, if you look at where we are in 2025, just in terms of certain kind of standard law enforcement practices, we're now in a world where essentially every law enforcement officer in Hennepin County is wearing a body-worn camera that's running when they're on duty. We're in a world where we have tools for much greater accountability and transparency in place that I think will both increase the quality of law enforcement, but also allow the public to have that greater kind of transparency and the expectation of transparency. And I think that's really such a key to building credibility with our community, is to ensure that everybody understands that they can see what our public safety professionals are doing, whether it's prosecutors in the court, whether it's police officers on the beat, whoever it may be. Because I think, you know, when people aren't able to see what's going on and aren't able to kind of see facts with their own eyes, I think it can lead to a lot of, you know, conspiracies and just a lack of trust. And so I do think where we sit in 2025, and again, we always will have progress to make and we can always do better. But I think we're in a place where there's a lot more transparency built into our systems. And I think that's a good thing.
I want to pull out here as we wrap up this conversation with Anders Folk. He's running for Hennepin County Attorney. Anders, pull out and look at the whole county. Minneapolis obviously gets a lot of attention. Cases in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Police Department. What can the whole county know about you, about these cases, about law enforcement and the criminal justice system and the whole county, rather than just obviously the biggest city and the most high profile cases that generally come out of Minneapolis? What are the other things you want listeners to know about?
Well, I think I would love for the listeners to know that I have a track record of working with every law enforcement agency in Hennepin County, and I'm committed to ensuring that whether you're out in Hopkins, Minnetonka, Maple Grove, Golden Valley, you're getting the same attention and you have the same seat at the table as the city of Minneapolis. And I think I pride myself on communication, outreach, and really being a proactive engager of these public safety professionals for sure, but just our leadership throughout the county. And what our county leadership should know is that if elected, they're going to get an experienced prosecutor who understands how to be a team player, how to listen, but how to lead and lead by example to ensure that public safety is increased for everybody in Hennepin County.
When you think of those other departments, are there tools they need or don't have right now on prosecutions or on investigations that you believe the county attorney's office can bring to them?
Well, I think the best way to answer that question is every department's going to have its own needs. And in order to understand how to best help them and to get them what they need and to make sure you're being the best partner you can as the county attorney, you need to be in that constant communication. And I think right now, what I think these police chiefs need is an understanding and a kind of firm belief that they've got a partner in their county attorney. And if I'm elected, they're not just going to get a partner, they're going to get an experienced partner who is committed to working with them and to helping them every day.
Anders Folk, thanks for joining us on Sunday Take.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, this week's take and the week that was. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks for putting up with my voice this week. It's been a busy week, a lot of talking. But this week's take is really about poll that came out late Friday from KSTP. And the question was, has Governor Tim Walz done enough about fraud? Fraud became a national story 2 weeks ago. And the Walz camp has not been able to escape this story. And now KSTP comes out with a poll that 69% of Minnesotans do not think Governor Walz has done enough about fraud. I know I've written this, I know I've raised it, that his team, Team Tim, has not taken fraud seriously. But there's also a dynamic based on Friday's press conference where he announced a new top chief of figuring out fraud in state government, is that there was a slow to react, a speed to react, and not take it seriously. And I think that comes out loudly way Walz answers questions. And that was true on Friday. And so there's a couple parts to this week's take. First and foremost, it confirms, this poll confirms the gut of where Minnesota is on this issue, leading into Tim Walz's third term. And many people think I'm too critical of Walz. But I will say this, is that if you ask for a third term and 69% of Minnesotans don't think you're doing enough on a key issue, then your reelect score is going to be in trouble. And that's what we will watch for later this week from KSTP, is what is Tim Walz's approval right now? Because his approval could be high, but voters think he's taking this issue not very seriously. And I just want to call that out. Second, the dynamics of the governor's race, as we talked about in the Republican straw poll at the beginning of the show, begin to really kind of lay out this idea that Republicans want to win. No Republican who's finished first in the straw poll in recent years, or very few, have been the ultimate nominee. And we have to watch that. So between now and May, when we learn who the endorsed candidate is, if there is one for Republicans, just know that Kendall Qualls would have to run the table to be the endorsed candidate amongst the delegates of the Republican Party. So this sets up 2026. We are a week away from the show before Christmas. We're a week about 2 weeks ahead of what do we need to watch in 2026 stories, that this poll from KSTP begins to shape up the idea that we're going to have a race. And I'm all for races. We have to cover them. We want to talk about them. We really, truly follow them very closely. Governor's races are different. But Tim Walz's team needs to figure out who they're going to be. And at the end of the day, if he's going to wage very serious campaign. Despite money, despite Democrats' passion, despite an unpopular White House, Tim Walz needs to decide how he is going to continue to tackle this fraud issue in a serious way. Because between healthcare costs, affordability issues, the quality of schools, the last thing Tim Walz wants to be talking about is fraud. But apparently, based on this poll, Minnesotans do want to talk about fraud. I'm Blaise Olson. That's Sunday Take for this week. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 Monday through Thursday. Next week, I think we have a member of Congress to record the show, but I want you to hang in there and learn more and read more at thedailyagenda.com. Always fresh content there. Thanks for bearing with my voice this weekend. I'm Blaise Olson. That's the Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.